Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we're all marveling this morning at Vinny Driscoll's new haircut. Let's give it up for Vinny.
Woo!
Can we get a camera on that?
Oh, no. Camera?
Yeah.
Come on. Stick your face in front of
it.
Yeah,
the camera.
We need a camera. Obviously. I mean, why
do
we have a
turn
camera?
He's got to turn it on himself.
Our new haircut. Oh, here he comes.
There
Thank
he is.
You, Vinny. Yay!
Let's Good do job. A quick poll.
So that's
yay
like,
or nay on
he
that.
Cut off like 7 inches.
Hair.
I give it 2 thumbs up.
No, it's a thumb down. Oh. I like Vinny with long.
Well, you guys were all out last week. You were out at the trade show last week. He had a rat's tail. He kept it for a little bit. He had to braid it.
All right. So anyway, we missed all
that.
Speaking of last week, a few of us were at ASI San Diego. Awesome show on the West Coast. Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages. What was your favorite part of the show? You had, let me interject here.
Drinking.
You had, you had an awesome luncheon with a bunch of.
Yeah, I did. That was
salespeople.
That was a lot of fun. Good information coming out of that.
You had like a lot of newbies and a lot of
veterans.
Mm-hmm. And what were they talking about?
They were talking about how to get their foot in the door of big clients, whether suppliers should come with them on sales calls, all kind of stuff. And the veterans had really, really great advice for them.
That's great.
It was a good time.
I'm glad.
So it was a Padres game. I love that.
Yes, it was awesome.
Even though I didn't know it was over and we stayed for the whole thing.
She's like, why is everyone clapping and walking out the door at the end of the baseball game?
Making us proud.
Which, by the way, that stadium, Petco Park, is awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Andy Cohen, I believe I saw you at the Padres game.
I was at the Padres game. I had a great time.
Did you know when the game was over?
I did. I'm more attentive than Kathy.
However,
usually.
He did not know that they hit 2 home runs, and I, in fact, did.
Hmm. I knew that they had hit 1.
So there you go.
Okay. Andy, what was your favorite part of ASI San Diego last week?
Michael J. Fox keynote.
Yep.
He was great.
This is
as he normally
you've
is.
You've gotten to interview him a few times now.
Me and him are pretty much buds by
you
now.
You guys are peeps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what is it about his message that is you find so inspirational?
You know, he's got stories on overcoming challenges that I think everybody can relate to. Obviously, everybody can't relate to his disease,
diagnosed with Parkinson's
se.
At 29. Now he's in his late 40s, right?
Yeah.
So he's had it for,
he's had it for 20 years. Yeah. Yeah. He's actually, I believe, 50 or 51. So the idea of overcoming challenges, you know, not just in business, but in personal life, he has great stories on that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Joe Haley, you
what
were
up?
Back in the office?
I was.
What's happening?
It was quiet, but busy.
It was blissful.
Quiet
it couldn't have been quiet with you
and
Michelle still at the office.
You weren't there. No, it was busy, busy, busy. So it was good. We got a lot done.
Good.
We had quiet time.
Trying
Michelle
to say
and I.
You don't get stuff done
Michelle
when
Bell.
We're around?
Yes.
No, people
you
think
are about to put to bed the next issue of Supplier Global Resource. What
I
is
am.
Hot news for suppliers right now?
As
you're tweeting.
How to gain market share. Mm-hmm. We have an article on that. We have an article on a company. We have a profile of a company who's been around since the 1600s, running
oh
continuously.
God.
They're a Swedish
Kathy.
Company.
Wow.
The 1600s.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that neat? And we have great. I should have called it the marketing issue because there's so many great marketing articles in it. Really
we
good
can still
stuff.
Is it too
that.
Late? We can put it
we
on
can
the cover.
Call it that.
No. My cover's done. No.
Michelle's like, thanks for the advice, but no.
No.
All right, we're going to take your calls in just a few minutes. We want to know how you can or give advice on how to keep disgruntled clients from bad-mouthing your company. A lot of people, you know, you get clients who are upset with something
Nobody
that
wants
you did
that.
Or a little customer service, and they're putting stuff on Facebook and they're you
what
know, doing
not?
All kinds
they're
of nasty
wild.
Stuff. So how do we prevent that? That's what we're going to give advice on today. Give us a call, 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, Joe, what are we going to give you?
We're going to give you a $25 Visa gift card.
We are. Also, if you have
Ooh,
advice.
Well, that's two.
Ka-ching.
If you have advice on how to handle disgruntled clients, we'd like to hear that, too.
Absolutely.
Vinny Driscoll with the shorter hair is going to be answering your calls, 215
We're going to call him short-haired Vinny.
4979. And that lovely sound effect, by the way, came from Rooster. So
or maybe it should
you'll
be
hearing many more of those throughout the show. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Does your company's social personality need a makeover now?
Yes.
The person oozing with personality, Kathy's going to let us know what's happening there. 6 brands that have come back from the dead and how they did it. Michelle has a look at that. Company's pricing mistakes, common pricing mistakes companies make. Andy?
Yeah, I got that one.
All right. Mm-hmm. How do you promote your brand on YouTube? We know talk a lot about people creating videos and put them on their YouTube, and you know how that helps with SEO. But you know, how do you promote your brand on there? What to consider when building an elevator pitch? Kathy has that, and we're also going to look at five signs that your ads aren't working. We also have our favorite things, but let's start the whole thing off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Go, Andy.
All right, thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with top 40 financial news. American Apparel increased its sales by 14% in the first quarter of 2012. The supplier's wholesale revenues, including promotional products, increased by 15% in the quarter. Total sales for the company have now increased for six straight months. On to product news now. Top 40 supplier Leeds announced a new partnership with AT Cross. The deal has Leeds carrying 20 different Cross items, which will come packaged in cross-branded boxes. Acquisition news now. Supplier TradeNet Publishing has purchased supplier Ad Dimensions. The deal is the first in TradeNet's 25-year history. As part of the transaction, TED 10 Ad Dimensions employees will join TradeNet, including general manager Scott Perry. On to product safety news. Rejecting the latest appeal from environmentalists, the U.S. FDA has announced it will not ban the much-discussed chemical BPA from plastic bottles and other items. While the decision is being ridiculed by health groups, the FDA maintains BPA-related studies have produced inconclusive results. Check out Promogram today for full details. Plus, sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what's hot today?
We have pop-up maps and game day socks.
Game day socks?
Game day
socks. Do you need socks for game day?
Well, you have to watch
and
find out.
You absolutely need game day socks.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll get myself for the weekend.
Imagine if all the parents went to the cheering competitions and they had on the colors of the girls.
Ooh, they already do that.
See? So you need them, Andy.
Imagine that. That's really
I wear my
really
red, white, and blue to every
interesting day. Interesting to imagine.
She's supporting.
You know what?
I even wear face paint, Andy.
When you're at the next competition, I think you should take a picture of that.
Oh, it's
for
on Facebook.
Us.
If you were on Facebook, you would have already seen it.
You would have saw Mark doing
maybe
this.
You
all right,
could
we're
going to
take your calls
so I can
now.
See it
now. We want to hear any problems you're having with disgruntled clients. How do you keep them from bad-mouthing your company? Or if you have any ideas on how to soothe an angry client, call us now, 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, we'll give you a $25 gift card. And on line three, we have Ed this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, thanks for making those of us that work for a living feel really bad about not being in San Diego.
Aww. Aww. We were working hard there.
We were working hard.
Somebody has to have the fun, right?
It was a great show. We missed you.
This is more of a comment on just a word of the wise, and maybe most of you out there know to do this, and maybe you don't, but follow-up is the key. It takes so long to get a client. Takes so little time to lose them if things go wrong. I had an incident recently where my corporate headquarters, you know, who has a devoted person for all my sales communications between vendor and them and for me on my behalf, had a snafu. The communications broke down, and I get a call from the client the day the merchandise should have been there, wondering where the order is. It's probably one of the first times in a year that I didn't check myself, even though I know my devoted person checks with a vendor on it. Bottom line is we had to overnight an order from California to Georgia, $2,000 overnight that I fortunately ended up not having to pay for, the company did. But just a word to the wise, to don't leave anything unchecked and don't assume things are going the way they're supposed to be going. And there's nobody that will do it like you'll do it.
Yeah, that's great advice from Ed. Andy, you had a comment?
Wow.
Well, you were nodding your head.
No, I would agree. I think that deals fall apart and customer relationships fall apart, like Ed said, when communication breaks down. And that's when customers are sort of left to their own devices and they can end up bad-mouthing their vendor. And bad-mouthing today can be very public. So it's something you have to be careful about.
That didn't happen because she was thrilled with the way I handled it. Of course, $2,000 later, you know, I didn't go to her and bother her and tell her all that, but she said, and it was the first time I'd ever dealt with this particular entity. I tried to get their business for 2 years in other departments, came highly referred to her, and she said, well, this didn't seem like the kind of thing that would happen with you because, you know, you seem so nice and so able and helpful and everything else that you're supposed to be, and so that was the nightmare of all nightmares. First time around, but the good news is she'll order from me again, and she has other things coming up because I did what I had to do, even though I wasn't sure I wasn't paying for some of that.
That's right. Well, that's a great story, and I think it's a great example. And, you know, I saw a study once that was kind of interesting. It said people are more likely to stay with you, customers, not just if you do everything perfectly, but if you screw up and handle it really well, they're going to be even more loyal than if you
hadn't. Well, the bottom line is everybody's going to screw up eventually. Mm-hmm. Right. Take it from me.
Thanks for the positive message there, Kathy.
And Ed didn't play the blame game here.
Right.
He saw the problem, and this is how we remedy it, and you just do it, you know.
And
fix
I think
it.
You make a really good point that you become more the hero than if things had gone
perfectly
status
time.
Quo.
Right.
That's
sure.
a really good point.
Then they know they can trust you if something,
right,
you know,
no matter what.
So well, thank you so much. Happened, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Ed. We appreciate your call, and hold on for your Visa gift card.
You guys have a good day.
You too.
Thank you.
On line one, we have Lauren. Good morning, Lauren.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I actually have a question. I had a client's order recently go bad, and it was a vendor screw-up, so it was not anything that I did wrong, but the client is now bad-mouthing me to other clients, so I'm wondering what I should do.
Let me correct you for a second. It was not a vendor screw-up. It was your screw-up. The vendor may have screwed it up.
In the eyes of the client.
Exactly.
Right. It is your screw-up.
The vendor may have messed it up, but it is your deal. And so you have to take ownership of it. You know, the only way to, I would say, salvage that client, especially if they've already gotten to the point where they're bad-mouthing publicly, is to own the fact that, that you – in your supply chain, it got messed up, and it was your supply chain, so it is your deal. You know, take ownership of what happened. Discuss how, you know, you would make it better in the future. Maybe discuss how some things went wrong, and then come up with a plan with them on how it would be better the next time. You know, and I wouldn't necessarily address the bad mouthing that they're doing per se. You don't want to go like tit for tat, but I think addressing these things on the front end is probably the best way to go.
I think some concessions are going to have to be made for that client in the future.
Sure. Yeah,
kind of allay the pain that they've got.
And, you know, while you're not going to just badmouth the supplier to the client, you should. I mean, Michelle, how would you deal with the supplier if you were a distributor and it was their screw up?
Oh, well, for sure I'd have a, you know, interesting conversation with the supplier. And if the supplier is a good one, you know, they'll recognize that and make concessions for the distributor as well.
Sure. I mean, a good supplier is going to be your
absolutely.
Partner on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you have to certainly. The supplier needs to be made aware that it was their screw-up. Between you and them, it's their screw-up.
Right.
It's just between you and
you
the client.
You have to take responsibility.
You have to own it as more than the supplier did, because as far as the client is concerned, there was no supplier.
That's
you
right.
are the supplier.
But maybe in the future, the supplier can work with Lauren, you mm-hmm. know, and make another order for that client go, you know, stupendously, you know, mm-hmm. and go over and above and maybe offer some overruns and offer some art discounts and things like that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for calling, Lauren. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And stay on the line for your Visa gift card. On line two, we have Wade. Good morning, Wade.
Good morning, everyone.
Wade, where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Maryland.
Oh, all right. So you have a question or comment?
I have a question. So basically, we had a screw-up. It was our fault. You know, we totally owned it up. Apologize to the client for
smart
the
move, Wade.
Thank you. So apologize to the client. You know, we fixed the problem. We even offered things like discounts for future orders, but you know they're still demanding more, and I don't know what to do.
Andy. I mean, at some point,
you know, yeah.
I wouldn't go. So I would cut them off at some point. I think if you've apologized and you've rectified the mistake. And you have given them concessions. I think that there's a time where, I mean, that there has to be a finite, you know, point.
It's time
that.
To move on. Yeah. Right. They've got to move on.
Yeah, if they're using the situation to just beat you up over and try to get, you know, extra points off of the amount that they're being charged, then, you know, that's not necessarily a relationship that you want to keep going on. I wouldn't drop it necessarily if they're a good client. You want to work with them, but... you know, I think a frank conversation is in order where you say, look, these are our parameters. We can't go past there. So what can we do to make sure that, you know, that we can work well going forward?
How about trying to change the subject and start bringing them great ideas for the next thing? Like
absolutely.
Trying to get
that's
them to move on.
Yeah.
Move on, people.
Stop beating us up.
All right. Good luck, Wade. Thanks for calling. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
On line four, we have Stanley, who I'm guessing is our longtime caller from California. Hey, Stanley.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Just early, early, early.
Yes. It's the same time every week, Stanley. So what's your comment?
Earlier. Well, you know, I don't think we can afford to start a war with clients nowadays. It's just not a good idea. And the old quote of, you know, war doesn't prove who's right, only who's left, really applies, I think, in today's Facebook, Yelp, and technology world. And so I can only tell you what I do. In my company, we work it out. I mean, we apologize immediately. We explain to them, you know, I was once told to ask my clients, you know, what would you like, what would make you happy? Because a lot of times what will make the client happy is a lot less than I would have or most people would have given right off the bat. It's amazing how clients really receive that. And the other thing that I've really done is to put systems in place that really help to ensure as much as possible does not go wrong. Not ever assuming that the proof should be approved or that I should just write it, you know, say it's okay. Really put systems in place. But when it does happen, to really, as you guys were saying, take ownership and do it immediately. Like, I mean, as fast as possible. I was told one time, hey, tell me the bad news now because I'm going to get it anyway. So I think if a distributor tries to hide it or if a vendor tries to hide a problem, that's where problems happen.
Yeah, nobody likes that. Mm.
I think Stanley has a great point, and it just highlights the importance of communication. Throughout the whole process, like Stanley said, what would make you happy? What, you know, how do you envision a great outcome mm-hmm. from this deal or from this, from this order? And just knowing that so that your company can work towards fulfilling it and fulfilling what their goals are will help you throughout the whole process. So I think mm-hmm. that communication is vital.
Well, great point. Thanks so much for calling, Stanley. And stay in line for your Visa gift card. On line one, we have Sandra. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, everyone. Last November, a client of mine out in the Caribbean placed an order for some custom leather binders, which was a reorder from something I had done years ago from the same supplier. In March, I got an email with a photo saying that 7 of the binders weren't wearing well. A photo was shipped to the sent to the vendor. The vendor said they wanted to see more photos. And then I went back to the client, and the client said that they had been taken out of the guest rooms and thrown away because they were not in good shape. So now the vendor says, well, I can't do anything. You didn't send me the binders. I don't have more photos. And I'm between a rock and a hard spot, and I really don't know what should be the next move. Do I refund the client in good faith for the value of the leather binders because they supposedly were wearing on the edge for poor workmanship? Or what do you think?
Were they complaining about all the binders, the whole, or just 7 of them?
They said 7 of them weren't wearing. They were for in-room guest directories. And I'm fearful that the supplier that changed hands about 3 years ago may not have used the same quality of workmanship that the original binders were presented in, and that may be an issue that's going to come back up again and again. But I have no way of knowing since I didn't see the finished product problem, mm-hmm. and I only saw one photo, and they don't have them.
Gotcha.
Let me ask you a question. Is this a client that orders anything else from you, or is this a reorder just of that?
They had ordered some other things for me in the past, but as of late, they've been using someone else. They're bidding out a lot of things, and every time I've sent in bids, I've never won them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm beginning to think that the relationship is not as solid as it had been in the past. I used to deal with the owner. Now they've, doing it through one of their purchasing people that I do not have a strong relationship with.
Yeah, I ask that because I think if it's a good client, then you are heading towards a refund. But considering your response there, I'm not sure you want to give in so easily. You know, that's money just out of your pocket because I don't know that you're going to recover it from the supplier. You could approach the supplier and say that you've decided that the product was inferior and you are going to give a refund and try to see if the supplier will split that cost with you. I doubt that they will. If they're looking for more evidence, they're probably shying away from the fact that they provided a lesser quality product, even though you know that they provided a lesser quality product.
Well, I can only assume that if in just a matter of months, right. the other binders stood up for years, there has to be some issue.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be some of the older binders have gone bad, and that's what the client is doing, is getting rid of the older ones and wants to replace them and saying that it's really the newer ones that are actually the ones going bad. And if they just discarded them, you have no evidence that, you know, whether it's the older ones or the newer ones. So, I mean.
Right. I mean, you could take the same, considering that it's not a great client, you could take the same tack that the supplier is basically taking and say, you know, unfortunately, I'm working with my vendor, but they are looking for more evidence that these are the actual binders that were just supplied, like Joe was just saying, as opposed to the previous ones, you know, and try to see if they would come up with more evidence or, you know, shy away from the demands that they're making.
Or maybe the client splits with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the client splits and, you know, says, all right, you know, like, this is the best we can do. We'll pay for half. You need to pay for the other half. And if it's replacing, what, 7 or 9 of them, you said?
Seven.
Yeah.
That's a little ridiculous. I don't have any evidence. It would be like trying to take something back to the store but not having the actual product.
Yeah,
right. You know.
I know, and they only sent one photo, and the vendor said, can you have them send me more shots? And I emailed down and said they'd like to see some different views, and then maybe we return the binders for them to inspect. And
yeah,
then she said
reasonable.
The housekeeping had put them in storage, and they'd been destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the vendor was willing to work with you on this, you know, and say, you know, this might not be the best quality. We sent you, we'll replace them. But it's like you said, Michelle, without the actual product there, you know, how can you refund it?
I'm wondering if you think when I reply in my emails if I should copy in the owner who's known me since 1990.
Yes.
Yeah, I would. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you have a track record with that person, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that person's not aware of what's going on as well.
Right.
And what's being asked for.
Okay, great.
All right, good luck. Thanks so much for calling, Sandra. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. If anybody has any other tips for Sandra, give us a call, 215-953-4979. And Michelle, you are getting some Facebook questions in on this topic. Is that
I am. Comments? Actually, this is a comment from Jennifer Moyer. She said, good customer service. No one should walk away unsatisfied. There's always a solution. If you end up with one of these clients that just can't be satisfied, brush it off and move on. Your reputation will hold up even with a few sour reviews. But don't respond to negativity in a public forum. It just brings more attention to the situation.
Ah, okay. So she's saying that if someone says something negative about your company on Facebook, you don't respond. And I have seen responses.
Never pretty.
But you know what? It's true. And otherwise, it will just kind of fade away unless lots of other people get involved. Right. Although, you know, if it's an isolated thing, that's not going to happen.
Although I would address it privately.
Absolutely.
If somebody is out there publicly sort of flaming you, then I would not respond necessarily to that publicly, but privately.
I'd get on the phone right away.
I would address that.
Unpost it, too, if you make them happy, which would be the ultimate goal, I would think. We're going to skip ahead because this topic intrigues me. Michelle has 9 things that to never say to your boss, and I would like to see what they are.
Okay, I've broken
Let's
these.
Go.
I've broken these
And if any of
down.
Us have
she's
heard
broken them
of
down,
these.
The things that she has said.
And I have some things to add of my own,
Can we just
the
debate
way.
These
oh,
for
good,
the rest
good.
Of the show?
I've broken them down to 4 things that match each one of our personalities.
Uh-oh.
So we have.
Wait,
this
let's
is,
guess.
This is the first one that you should never say to your boss. This just isn't possible. Andy Cohen.
That's not true, though.
No,
you should always.
I don't say that.
You should always speak to your boss in terms of what can be done. For instance, rather than saying, we just can't get this done by Friday, you should say, we can definitely get this done by Monday if we do this. So always have options. Number 2, I can't stand working with so-and-so, Joe Haley.
Yeah, we can't stand working with Joe Haley.
I've heard that. I have not heard that from Joe.
Thank you.
I've heard that from former employees who are no longer working here.
Oh.
Complaining about a coworker's personality usually reflects more poorly on you than the coworker. Also, it's not something, of course, your boss is usually too busy to handle something like this, so just keep that to yourself or other colleagues who are willing to listen. Andy Cohen. Here's another one. I partied too hard last night, and I'm so hungover I can't do
me?
My work.
Michelle.
No, that was me. I'll take credit for that one. Yeah.
Yes, I've heard that.
And the last one we'll mention is for people who, when asked directly by their boss, go, I don't know, Kathy Houston.
Isn't that somebody else's problem?
If your boss asks you a question you can't answer, the correct response is not, I don't know. It's, I'll find out right away.
Ooh,
those are really good. I
yeah, we'll post these the rest of
you
these
have
online.
9 of them. Put the rest of them online, asicentral.com.
But we want to hear yours.
Yeah, we want to hear yours now.
Well, I have a few. One is, I need a raise because fill in the blank, and it could be anything from I bought a house that I can't afford, I'm getting a divorce, I bought a new car, anything that has nothing to do with work or your performance. Right. That's a big pet peeve.
The only thing
of mine
that should follow the because is because of what you do in the office.
Because I deserve it, and I've done this and this and this. Not because, like, oh, I bought an expensive dog.
Have you seen the price of gas?
Those are not good reasons for a
raise. It is killing me.
And one that Kathy is familiar with, she did not say this.
Oh,
but
sure.
Someone we used to work with said that they were unable to complete an assignment because they were stressed because of, you know, a female monthly issue.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know what? That's just not going to work.
That's right.
I'm not going to say anything. I feel more comfortable out of this conversation than in it.
So anyway, those are some of my pet peeves. Andy, you've heard any that you would care to share?
I don't know that I could follow your last one. my biggest pet peeve is just the first one that Michelle said, which she tried to apply to me, which is inaccurate. Thank you. Which is, it can't be done. Or worse is, that's not how we do it here.
That's the way we've always done it.
That actually was one of the ones on the list. We've always done it this way.
Stop with that.
Yeah.
That
is, we still a lot of things in this
how
country.
We do it here is not say that. Because that's awful.
Exactly. Even if you don't think that you can do it, you can always say, like, well, let me get back to you.
Right. Let's figure out a way to make it happen.
I have some other ideas. It might not happen exactly like that. Right. However, we can do this.
You know, another
something.
Another one on the list was people who say, I'm not doing that because it's not my job. And Joe and I were just talking about someone who's not in our department, but someone at ASI who will not do anything outside of the sphere of their job description.
Can you just deliver this to so-and-so?
No.
It's like you're walking right past their cubicle, dropping
on
the desk.
But, I mean, how many of us do things every day that are outside
every
of what we
day
would think of as a normal job?
Oh,
Andy
God,
and I
yeah
are currently
I think,
planning
I think
a hot dog eating
actually
contest.
I think that's all I do.
No, we're talking about doing a hot dog eating contest.
Yes.
Somewhere at a show. Was that in your job description when you hired at ASI?
No, there's not a bullet point for hot dog eating contest organizer.
Yes. What about Michelle's judging ASI's Got Talent?
Yes.
Who wants to do that?
Wait, Michelle is judging that?
I think that Michelle will have a lot of fun.
I did not know
guess
that.
Guess who's producing and directing?
That I knew.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
well,
I did not know Michelle
you're
was judging.
Credits.
The
no,
point
I'm
is,
not going to be
we
here
all do things that are, you know, not everything you do is in your job description.
Correct.
And it's all good.
Correct.
Right.
There we used to have an employee here that when you asked for something, she would immediately start cursing at you and yelling at you and say that it cannot be done. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think
about
the key words there are used. Used to have an employee here.
Yeah, well, she passed
I away don't remember that person.
Okay. All right,
anyway,
let's move on.
You would give her 20 minutes and she'd figure it out, but it was just her way was to yell
how
at you.
How about employees
you
that won't shut up? Hello?
All right.
Well, we do
that,
have
gonna,
plenty of those.
We're going to move
everyone
on
at this table, except for Melinda. Would say, oh, shut up.
All right, Andy Cohn, we have just enough time for you to talk about common pricing mistakes that companies make.
I have a
what
report here that comes from a consulting firm. We will post the whole report, but let me run through a few. So the first is that companies base their prices on their cost, not their customers' perception of value. I think that comes big into play in this industry specifically.
Absolutely.
This is a kind of general business report, like white paper, but that is really important. You know, the product you're selling and how your customer views that can change the price. So don't just, you know, we talk about factoring in costs and making sure your costs are covered and that your profit margin is covered, but factor in the idea of value too and how your customer values the certain products that you're selling. The next one is that companies base their prices on, quote, the marketplace. You know, don't just look at numbers and say that the average gross profit margin is 35% or 37%, which it is around that. But don't just look at that. Look at what your own business is. And like the first tip, go back and see what customers value as far as the products that you're selling. You know, there you could be looking at a 60% profit margin depending on how customers are valuing what your products are. So don't just think about the marketplace and suppliers' suggested selling prices. Come up with your own and see what customers will pay.
Good advice on pricing from Andy Cohn. We're going to put that online, asicentral.com/radio. We have just enough time in the show to talk about our favorite products of the week. Joe Haley, what do you got for us?
Okay, this is pretty cool. Everyone remembers these from their childhood.
Viewmaster.
Everything is in 3D here. I think it's a great promotional tool for people who do modular homes, who might sell memberships to have, fly in a little private jet. You put all the pictures of the inside. No, private jet.
Everybody fly.
Pictures of the inside. Mail to someone. They're going to get this. It's also good. It ties into nostalgia.
Teacher. I saw at some restaurant put a menu on there.
There you go.
And that was
so
really
it's
cool.
Great. That's I think neat. It's a great idea. It is from a company called Image 3D, ASI 62232, and that's image3d.com.
All right, Andy, what's your favorite product?
Mine is a massive highlighter. It's an 8-inch highlighter.
Massive?
8-inch.
Is it the Hulk-a-lighter that Joe showed a couple weeks ago?
No, I have no idea. I don't see a Hulk-a-lighter.
Oh, okay.
But it's a big highlighter. So if you're looking for a unique idea to target the education market with, the number one market for promotional products,
how
check
much
it out.
Will it highlight? Like half a page? When you use it?
You get massive coverage.
Ooh, I'm excited about it.
Comes from Nationwide Promotions, which is ASI 73464, and you can see it online right now at asicentral.com/radio.
All right, Kath, what's your favorite product?
That is the bulk
I
collider.
Picked my product nice. In honor of the adorable Bubba Watson, who won the Masters tournament this weekend. Mm. It's the Golf Pro Gourmet Gift Bag from Gifted Expressions, ASI 56777. It looks like a bucket full of golf balls, but it's actually a gift bag that includes a lot of treats and gourmet goodies, and I think it would be a great tournament gift.
Go Bubba.
That's right.
Go Michelle Bell, why don't you bring us home?
Mine is from a company called Fairy Tale Brownies. Okay, doesn't this remind you of the jewelry boxes
yes.
with those little girls with the little ballerina?
With the ballerina.
I love them.
Yep.
Anyway, the brownies that they have in here are the best brownies I've ever had. They are like tasted like fudge.
Those are delicious.
Yeah, they're fabulous. And it's from ASI 53518.
Fairy Tale Brownies. All right. Thank you. We are out of time today. Thanks for everyone for calling in and listening. And we'll be back next week, same time, same place, and we'll talk about signs that your ads are not working. Have a great week, everybody.